right, thank you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about resistance to pyrethroids and the bollworm, Helicoverpa zea. Just a little background, zea is a highly prolificous pest. It feeds on all sorts of crops, especially cotton, grain sorghum, corn, soybeans, tomatoes. And in our location in southern Texas, we can typically have anywhere from 5 to 7 generations per year. It's a very important economic pest. A real old estimate shows about $1 billion worth of damage from it combined with the tobacco budworm after insecticide controls. And up until this year, where it's just been surpassed by Liguus, apparently, from Dr. Williams' report earlier, this complex has been the number one pest of cotton throughout the belt and almost exclusively made up of the bollworm, with typically 250,000 bales lost per year just in the United States alone. So one of the most common methods for control of this pest is use of pyrethroid insecticides. And in Texas, we've been monitoring for pyrethroid resistance with cypermethrin since 2003, and this has been common across several other states in the cotton belt as well. But what they typically use is the adult vial test, where they're looking at exposing adult male moths to cypermethrin in insecticide-coated vials. Cypermethrin, again, this is a real standard pyrethroid, but it's got an aliphatic acid moiety and a bisphenyl ether alcohol moiety. There's a lot of structurally different pyrethroids. You know, and an example of an aromatic acid moiety would be S-vinvalerate, and a biphenyl alcohol moiety would be something such as bifenthrin. So in general, pyrethroids are applied at the early larval stages when you're applying in fields. And the metabolism of the pyrethroids can differ greatly depending on which insect growth stage you're targeting, and also depending on just the structure of that particular pyrethroid. So a couple important questions I wanted to address was, what's the actual relationship in susceptible Helicoverpa zea male moths that we use for the adult vial test for monitoring and actual third instar larvae like you might find applied out in the field? And also, what's the difference in sensitivity between some structurally different pyrethroids such as S-vinvalerate and bifenthrin? Typically, using that vial test, what we do is we use different concentrations of the insecticides dissolved in acetone coated on the inside of vials, or just acetone alone as a control. And color code the vials and use 0.5 mL of insecticide per vial and roll them on a nicely modified hot dog roller to get a good even coat, and let those dry to do this experiments. And for evaluation, we place one moth or one larva per vial, and based on all of the old data from Dr. Plapp's studies in the late 70s and early 80s, we usually evaluate for mortality in the moths at 24 hours, but wait for 48 hours, just a little bit longer, to evaluate the larvae. And all the data was analyzed with Polo Plus Probit Analysis Program, and here the data we'll be looking at are likelihood ratio tests for equality and parallelism of the populations. And I did all of the probit graphs here using sigma plot. I'm going to give you a little background here. So this is an example of a log dose probit line. So it's basically a way to linearize a bell-shaped curve. And what we're looking here is a log scale of the concentration, for instance, of cypermethrin versus a percent mortality or probits on the y-axis. So this line would represent the response of a certain population. And so I'm going to be looking at equality and parallelism of populations. So if I were to have two parallel lines here, what that would indicate is you're getting a similar response between the populations, just the magnitude of the response would be a little bit different. If you're having equality, you're not only getting a similar response, but you're also having the same magnitude of response. And one important point we're going to be looking at is this 50% mortality area, because this is real good representation of the population as a whole. So if you follow the line over here, you could see that roughly about 2.5 micrograms would be what kills about 50% of this population given here. So I've got a busy slide. I'll break it down for you, but what I've essentially done here is I've compared the three different pyrethroids, again, the standard of cypermethrin, with bifenthrin and S-vinvalerate, and not only looking at the adults, but also looking at the third instar larval and their response in this vial assay. Just briefly to look, you can see that the bifenthrin, the third instars in adults were more sensitive to bifenthrin than the S-vinvalerate or cypermethrin. So looking more in depth, when we're looking here, For cypermethrin, and again, this is our standard, the third instars are more sensitive to cypermethrin at the 50% level than the adults. The test for parallelism was rejected here, so we're even getting a little bit different response to cypermethrin between the third instars and the adult moths. But the main point here is I want you to see that third instars are more sensitive to cypermethrin. When you look into a different chemical such as esfenvalerate, first of all, when we test for parallelism, it's not significantly different, so we're getting a similar response between the larval and the adults. But you'll see that the adults at the LC50 level are more sensitive than the third instars, which is exactly opposite of what we've seen with our standard cypermethrin. I saw similar results to esfenvalerate with the bifenthrin, where again, looking, testing for parallelism, we're getting a similar response between the third instars and the adults. However, the adults are more sensitive to the bifenthrin than the third instars, just like we saw in esfenvalerate. Just taking a quick look to compare across all three pesticides for the third instar test, we're not rejecting parallelism, so the response is very similar. Just the magnitude of the response is a little bit different. You can see the bifenthrin is a little bit more sensitive on the third instars than the cypermethrin or esfenvalerate. I also saw the same thing to a little bit greater extent looking at comparing the adult assay between all three of the pyrethroids. You can see again here they're more sensitive to bifenthrin, but the general response to the three pyrethroids is similar for the populations. So the results, this has a real important implication for resistance monitoring. Just to summarize, the third instar larvae are more sensitive than the adults in our standard cypermethrin, which is typically used to monitor for resistance. When you test a couple structurally different pyrethroids, we're seeing that the moths were more sensitive than the larvae. And just in general, both of them were more susceptible to bifenthrin, which would kind of be expected because it usually is more active at a lower rate. The significance of this is, you know, the current pyrethroid monitoring tests are, the main reason they use the adult test exclusively is because it's very easy to use a sex pheromone trap and get all those moths in there and do tests. It's very difficult to collect all these larvae from the field. So that's always been the standard. But when we're seeing these differential responses of the larvae and the adults to the different pyrethroids, this could be very important in the ability for us to accurately predict resistance to pyrethroids. Especially in Texas over the last several years where we use cypermethrin, sometimes we've seen pretty high levels of resistance and high LC50 resistance ratios, but no control failures in the field. And this may be a good explanation for that just the use of cypermethrin on the adults, we may be overestimating the level of resistance that we're actually seeing in the field. So it's going to be interesting in the future to select which one you're using, and especially some of the future work I'd like to do is look at an actual resistant field population and see if the responses are the same in a resistant population. This is just some literature cited for my presentation, and I'd like to thank my PhD committee, especially my PI, Dr. Pietro Antonio, Texas A&M, and my technician, Jessica Moore, because she's helped me an incredible amount, and then also for all of the funding for this from the Insecticide Resistance Action Committee and Cotton Incorporated and my fellowship there at Texas A&M. So if I have some time, I'll take any questions, please.
We do have time for questions.
Did you test more than one population?
So the question was, did I test more than one population? This is the preliminary data, but I forgot to mention one important thing that I'm looking at here is the third instars and the adults are all from the same generation to reduce some of the variability. So, and all of this so far to date has just been from a susceptible laboratory colony. So all of this data is to see what the baseline level of response is. Yes, sir. Okay, so the question is, how do we actually measure the dose? And I guess the simple answer is we don't. There's always been a little back and forth as far as the best method to test for resistance. You have back quite a bit earlier, the standard was always using a topical assay, and that's still used. There's always some benefits and drawbacks to each method. With the topical, you know what actual rate you're placing on it. Now, whether it actually penetrates, some of the higher rates have a difficult time penetrating the cuticle. But the drawback to using a vial assay is you don't ever know exactly what rate they're exposed to. But I think it's probably a better method for a realistic residual exposure for what you might see in the field. But the simple answer to your question is you don't know exactly what rate they're being exposed to.
Other questions?
Yes. I don't have any plans to date to look at the topical method. You know, all of these, we tried to do sample sizes of at least 50 insects per concentration, which takes out a lot of the variability you see by using the residual vial assay. And hopefully, I think that's going to take care of the problem, but we don't have any plans to do the topical.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.